I sense, I know that the Lord's spoken an awful lot already this morning. And I trust what I'm going to bring in the next 33 minutes or less will flow with that. I phoned, actually I have confidence that it will from things that have already happened. I didn't phone, I emailed Tom during the week and said, was there anything he particularly would like me to bring? Anything that sort of particularly fitted, or was there any series you were doing or anything like that? And fundamentally, Tom emailed back, it would be good for you to talk about Jesus. Which I thought was wise words, really. And so immediately a passage came to mind that I'm going to read. So I was very interested when almost Paul's opening words this morning were, let's use this song, this worship, as a starting block for us as we run this race. So some of you might be ahead of me if you'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And I would encourage you to, in time you may have, perhaps read through Hebrews 11 and 12 together. We haven't got time to go all the way through all of that this morning, but I would encourage you to look at both of those chapters together, perhaps read them through just in one sitting, beginning to end. Because they are amazing. They're amazing chapters. That's a fairly trite thing to say about the Bible, isn't it? But as a piece, they are amazing. As the writer to the Hebrews, whoever he or she may have been, sorry, that was meant to be provocative, takes us through this list of heroes of faith. People who define what faith is, really, in Hebrews chapter 11. And then goes on to say how that applies to us and our walk or our race, our run. And they're not always easy reading. There are parts of the chapters together that are challenging. So I was encouraged in the prayer meeting this morning to have a word brought to me by Flavia about being like a lens that would focus, and that focus of light can burn. So I'm not coming to burn this morning, but if anything you hear, it's not, it has that effect. It's a constructive burning. It's what the Spirit might want to do to release us from things. So they're not always easy reading, Hebrews 11 and 12. They make challenging reading. At the end of chapter 12, we read, "For our God is a consuming fire." Now, it's very easy to read that judgmentally. Of course, love and passion is consuming, isn't it? God is passionate for each one of us. Too passionate to let us just wallow in the mire. But it is challenging. So let me just read the two verses that I really have on my heart this morning and that I'm going to speak from. But I would encourage you to look at that as a piece, 11 and 12. So from the beginning of chapter 12, which is entitled in my Bible, The Race of Faith. So get on your starting blocks. Therefore, and when you see therefore in the Bible, you always ask what it is there for. And it is therefore what we've been hearing in chapter 11 about these heroes of faith. Therefore, We also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance or faithfulness, steadfastness, various ways we could translate that, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, originator, and finisher, perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And before anything else, before we look at the race, which I want to look at, let's just start, and we will finish, by looking at Jesus. He is the author of our faith. He is the one who has started it all for us. He is the originator of this walk we are on. He is the starting point. He is the initial focus. He writes the book. And he is the finisher. And that means both the end, but also it means as in finishing something, you know, putting a finish on it, perfecting it. He loves us too much for us to wallow in the mire with lots of sharp edges. God is love, and out of that great love, Jesus came to set us free. And out of that great love, he will work as we open ourselves to him to perfect us, to shape us, to shape our lives. It says, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. And it always encourages me that that joy has a human face. Your face. And 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 your face. Your face. And this face even. For the joy that was set before him, we are part of that joy. We are part of what Jesus saw. Both generally and individually. And out of his love for us, he endured the cross, despising its shame. And out of that love for us, he now sits at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. And out of that love for us, as Paul says, in Ephesians, we too, who were dead in our sins, have been raised up with him and are now seated with him. Out of that love for us. And if we hear nothing else this morning, let's hear again the amazing wonder of Jesus' grace and love towards each one of us. And let us consider again Jesus, the beginning and the end of our faith. And whatever else we get involved in on this walk of faith, good stuff, exciting stuff, or difficult and rubbish stuff, let's not take our eyes off Jesus. I've been quite challenged recently about the race. And some of that, in fact, in the last couple of months, quite a large part of that, I quite clearly see as me being provoked and challenged by the life and now death of a friend of mine called Rich Hubbard. For those of you that don't know who Rich Hubbard was, Rich was the CEO, the leader of a charity called Lynx International. And I've been privileged to work with Lynx over a lot of years now, about 18 years actually, writing their magazine, and I've been on Lynx trips. So Rich hasn't been CEO all that time. Norman Barnes was before that. But Rich was the leader of it for about, in one way or another, for about the last 5 years. And a year ago, almost exactly a year ago actually, he was diagnosed with cancer, and it was diagnosed to be a cancer that medically they could do nothing about at all. And obviously we've been praying and standing for his healing. But back at the end of August, he actually went to be with the Lord. And I had the privilege a few weeks ago of going to his Thanksgiving memorial service at his church, Aaron Church Christian Fellowship on the south coast of England. I actually had the privilege of praying with Rich about an hour and a half before he went to be with the Lord. And that memorial Thanksgiving service really challenged me about running the race and finishing well. Because Rich was a man who ran the race. And despite what happened, he was a man who finished well. Very well indeed. Just after I left him on that last afternoon, some nurses were apparently trying to make him a bit more comfortable. And he was thanking them. And from what I gather, you know, in his distress, he was concerned for them. And showing them honour and appreciation. In literally the last few minutes of his life. At his Thanksgiving service, there were tributes that came. There was about 700 people there, by the way. And there were tributes from people from all over the world. Because Lynx International is a sort of an international charity, Rich had travelled all over the world on mission trips, aid trips, trips to churches. There were tributes as well from much closer to home, from his friends and from his family. I can't answer for you with a nice, neat answer why Rich died. I can't. We prayed. He believed he was going to be healed. He was not in this life. I haven't got a nice, neat answer for that for you. I kind of wish I had, but I haven't. But what that Thanksgiving memorial service made very clear to me was that in the context of this life lived for Jesus, the context of this life lived pursuing the kingdom of God, this life lived running the race, and Rich wasn't a superstar. You know, he was very humble about what he'd achieved. But in the light of the huge impact that this life lived, sold out to run the race with Jesus, had made, I realized one very, very important truth. Well, realized. This important truth was reinforced in me. This was not a defeat. This was not a defeat. Death in Rich's life really had lost its sting. really wasn't just words on a page. Death had lost its sting. Yes, he has a family who are grieving. Yes, he has friends who are grieving. Yes, he leaves an enormous hole in terms of ministry. But death had lost its sting. Death didn't win the day. Rich and Jesus did. And it's challenged me. It's challenged me to look at my own life. To look at my own priorities. To look at how I'm running my race. So unashamedly, I'm sharing that with you. To see if it will challenge you. And this passage. You see, in this passage, the writer to the Hebrews is exhorting his listeners to run well and to finish well. And the reality is, of course, and I don't want to be sort of morbid or anything in any way, but we actually, none of us know when the end will be anyway, do we? None of us do. So let's run well. So we'll know that we're running well when we finish well. He's exhorting these people to run and finish well, and he's just been talking about these great heroes of faith. And if you go through chapter 11, it's an interesting progression, really, because it goes through this great list of people, and it starts with all the big names, really, and talks about the amazing exploits they had in God. And in the main, it sort of talks about their, if you like, successes. The things which they achieved with God. And that's fantastic and encouraging news. By faith, Abraham did this. By faith, Moses did this. By faith, Sarah did this. By... Not in that order, by the way. As the chapter goes on, it kind of then says, and time, I haven't got time to talk about all these other people, and it names a few, but then it just talks about, generally, people who have walked in faith with God. And some of them, it says, it talks about the fact that people are raised from the dead. And then, it actually goes on to people who things haven't always finished that happily for. Or, well, they have finished well, but things haven't worked out as one might have liked. People who have endured persecution and death. But they're all heroes of faith. Because all of them had their eyes set ahead. They've journeyed in faith. And there is a truth, you know, that those who walk in faith are always on a journey. They're on a journey from where they were, and they're on a journey towards that which they cannot now unsee that they've seen. Hebrews 11, verse 15 says this, "Truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they'd come out, they would have had the opportunity to return." Now that's talking literally, but it's also talking symbolically, I hope you understand. "But now they desire a better," that is a heavenly country. "Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." I think probably each one of us sitting here today, we've seen something in God that we can't unsee. Haven't we? We've seen something of the kingdom of God that we can't unsee. And we could, it's not that we can't go back. We could go back. But you know what? We would never be able to unsee what we've seen. It's my experience of people who have walked away from God. When you really talk to them, might not always be true, but my experience is people really, if you really probe, they can't unsee what they've seen. They might have stopped believing in the reason for it, but they can't unsee it. And Hebrews 11 is the story about people who can't unsee what they've seen. They're journeying towards what lies ahead. And some of them cross the finishing line, to some extent having realized that. But actually, all the people mentioned here in Hebrews 11 don't quite get it in perfection, because we sometimes forget the last couple of verses of chapter 11. All these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Simply speaking, they journeyed in faith with the revelation they had, but they hadn't perfectly seen the revelation of Jesus. I believe they had had a revelation of Jesus, but they hadn't had it in the way that we have had the opportunity to have it. And yet they still journeyed in the way they did. So the writer is saying, if they journeyed like that, how much more should we, who have seen Jesus, who have had that more perfect revelation of Jesus? And yet faith is still a journey for us. If you like, the finishing line is clearer. What lies ahead is clearer. Who is our sustainer on the journey? We have a revelation of, but it is still a journey for us as we journey in faith. And I suppose what's happened with Rich and the challenge of his life, I'm reading this passage again, has challenged me again to run this race with my eyes fixed on Jesus and his kingdom, and not in the circumstances of my life, and not even in the stuff that goes with that, in terms of new revelation of the kingdom of God is this or whatever. It's not that that stuff's not important, but I want to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. And it's this fantastic picture, the beginning of chapter 12, of this cloud of witnesses. But and as the imagery goes on to talk about a race, I don't think it's pushing it too far to picture them almost like there's this big stadium, and here we are down on the track. And yes, we're running the race for Jesus, and yes, we're running the race for the kingdom of God, and yes, we're running the race for ourselves, but there's this stadium cheering us on. And actually, we've got a bit of responsibility as well to run the race well for them as well, because we're part of the same family. I once only had a big stadium experience as an athlete. Sounds impressive. I was only 16 years old. But I had the privilege of competing in the, this is going to sound very impressive, the All England Schools Athletics Championships. Now, I was there as a long jumper. Difficult to believe now, I know, but I really was. And my event was on day two. So day one, I was sitting up in the stands with the other people not actually competing that day. We had to go, you know, with our whole team, Hampshire Schools Athletics, whatever, in kit, but I didn't even have my spikes with me, actually, and I've been sitting up at the back of the stadium, drinking milk and eating chocolate and stuff. And then the call came that actually, both one of the members of the 100 meter relay team and the only substitute, were both hurdlers and both had pulled muscles in their event. So could I come, as a long jumper, they thought I should be able to sprint. So could I come and do the third leg? This was at Crystal Palace Athletic Stadium. And the third leg of a relay, if you know anything about athletics, brings you round from the bend. You go round the bend and brings you round in front of the stand. So I had the privilege of running on an athletics track in front of a stadium. And it was pretty full, stadium sort of full of people. So when I read this, I understand something about a stadium full of people cheering you on. I also understand something about the responsibility of that, which I'll come to in just a moment. So in the final few minutes, 3 points about running the race. The first point is training. The writer says that we are to cast off weights and cast off the sin that can hem us in. That's a bit like getting into shape, basically. If we're going to run this race, we don't want to run it with unnecessary baggage. And the unnecessary baggage, it says here, is the stuff that weighs us down and sin. Now, interestingly, it seems to me there is both of those things. So there's the sin that can kind of tangle us up. That's like if we're trying to run with lots of unnecessary clothing that we shouldn't have on. We can probably all think quite easily of the stuff that can entangle us like that. But if you do need a checklist, in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17 through to chapter 5 verse 21, if you're making notes, there is a list in there scattered throughout there. Paul talks about stuff that we're supposed to put off of the old man, of sin. Stuff that we need to put off, that we can choose not to wear. That stuff will entangle us. But then there's also the weight. Just maybe a little bit of flabbiness in our life. I don't mean that literally, you know. Or maybe stuff which is weighing us down that hasn't been of our creation. Stuff the enemy wants to load on us that we need releasing from. Going back to that day at Crystal Palace, I had sat in the stadium drinking milk and eating biscuits and chocolate and crisps and stuff. That was a problem when I came to run the race. And it was actually, whilst a privilege, also quite an embarrassing circumstance for me, as I ran as fast as I could, but encumbered. I was wearing the wrong spikes as well. I had to borrow somebody's. Bit like unnecessary clothing. Probably would have been better in bare feet, actually. And you see, this race we're running, there is a sense in which it's an individual race, but there's a sense in which it's a relay race as well. I took the baton because I couldn't run as well as I should have been able to. At the other end, the person who set off, you know, they do in 100 metres, they start running before you arrive. He had to stop and wait for me. Otherwise, he'd have gone outside the changeover box. We have a responsibility here to train well. This race isn't just for ourselves. Let's train well. And if this morning, as I've been saying these words, there's things you know that you need to cast off, well, we'll have some prayer at the end. So first, training. Secondly, attitude. All the sports psychologists will tell you, you know, some part of it is about physical training, but actually that will only get you so far. Beyond that, it is to do with our attitude. The writer here talks about running with perseverance, running with steadfastness. If you look at the roots of the Greek word, at the root of it, it means this: being around when others have gone. Are we running this race with the attitude that basically, even if all others go, I will still be here? I will still be around even if others go. Running with endurance, with perseverance, with steadfastness. And all of us can think of examples, can't we, of in our life of when we need to be steadfast, when we need to endure, when things aren't always easy. And by the way, please understand, I'm not just talking about church and ministry, although it includes all of that. For Rich, the tributes came in both in terms of his ministry and work, but also more generally his life, his family, his friends. Will we be faithful in our friendships? Will we be faithful with our family? So we train, we cast off the stuff that we don't need. We examine our attitude, we run with endurance, with steadfastness. And at the heart of that, by the way, I'll just remind you, if you were here last week, or you can hear it on the website if not, of what Colin talked about, love and power together. You know, those things with love and the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of God at the center of our lives, we will run with steadfastness. And thirdly, focus. We need to train. We need to have the right mental attitude. But when we're on the blocks and the starting gun goes, we need focus. And the focus is Jesus. He is our impetus on the blocks. He is the author, but he's also the finisher. It's him that we need to keep in our eyes. Before all other things. So, I've been challenged about finishing well, about running well, about where my focus will be, about, first of all, what am I carrying that is unnecessary? I've been challenged by that. Actually, just close your eyes for a moment. What are we carrying that's unnecessary? Some of us, things might come to mind immediately. Some of us, it would be good for us to read through Ephesians 4 and 5. Just see if any of that speaks to us. Stuff to take off for the race. If there's stuff that's come to mind now, just picture yourself taking that off and laying it at Jesus' feet. Laying it at Jesus' feet. And don't pick it back up. If it's a weight, could be that it'd be helpful to pray with someone this morning, just to be released from that weight. Will we be those who run with endurance, or have we got discouraged on the race? Let's receive again the power we need this morning from God. And we can picture that in all sorts of ways. Your God-given imagination can fill in the blanks for that. We don't need no LucasAid. We need him. His love, his power. And have we got distracted? Or is our focus on Jesus? There's lots of other good stuff we can get involved in, and it is good stuff. But let's not take our eyes off Jesus. Church, brilliant. I believe in it. But let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Ministry, fantastic, God-given. Let's keep our eye on Jesus. Prophecy, healing, amazing. The work of the Holy Spirit. But let not any of that become the thing, the finishing line. Let's keep our focus on Jesus.